a strict set of rules we must master in order to use the language correctly. I did not know it then, but this school of grammar had a name. It was called prescriptive because it prescribed proper ways to use the English language. I was an eighth grader at St. Aidan's School in 1961, the year Webster's Third Dictionary included the word ain't, without disapproval, for the first time. The conservators of language were outraged, denouncing the dictionary as a glorification of ignorance and its editors as permissive. But the Webster's team was doing nothing more or less than taking note of the way that people actually use the language. These lexicographers were members of the descriptive school because they described the language used in spoken and written English. More than a half century later, the grammar wars rage on, with the prescribers and describers professing antagonistic visions of what constitutes grammar, how it is learned, and how it should be taught. It is in this contentious context that I offer, for your consideration, The Glamour of Grammar. If you are listening to this audiobook, it means that the English language lives inside you. That is a wonderful gift, one that many of you learned from the cradle, one that will grow with you until you whisper, "Rosebud," or whatever your final word happens to be. But you have an even greater power at your fingertips. It comes not when your language lives inside you, but when you begin to live inside your language. To help you live that life, this program invites you to embrace grammar in a special way, not as a set of rules, but as a box of tools, strategies that will assist you in making meaning as a reader, a writer, or a speaker. Living inside the language requires a grammar of purpose, a grammar of effect, a grammar of intent. This type of grammar puts language into action. It doesn't shout at you, "No, no, no," but gives you a little push and says, "Go, go, go." This type of grammar enables us to practice the three behaviors that mark us as literate human beings. It helps us write with power, read with a critical eye, and talk and listen about how meaning is made. These reflections lead me to the purpose of this audiobook's fabulous title, The Glamour of Grammar. At first glance, the phrase must seem oxymoronic, as paradoxical as a sequined pocket protector. Was there ever in the popular imagination a word less glamorous than grammar? But what if I were to tell you that at one time in the history of our language, grammar and glamour were the same word? Need proof? Let's consult the Oxford English Dictionary. The bridge between the words glamour and grammar is magic. According to the OED, glamour evolved from grammar through an ancient association between learning and enchantment. There was a time when grammar described not just language knowledge, but all forms of learning, which in a less scientific age included things like magic, alchemy, astrology, even witchcraft. Evan Morris, editor and publisher of The Word Detective, leads us through the maze. Morris writes, "Glamour and grammar are essentially the same word. In classical Greek and Latin, grammar, from the Greek grammatikos, meaning of letters, covered the whole of arts and letters, that is, high knowledge in general. In the Middle Ages, grammar was generally used to mean learning, which at the time included, at least in the popular imagination, a knowledge of magic. The narrowing of grammar to mean the rules of language was a much later development, first focusing on Latin and only in the 17th century extended to the